for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. And he, talking about the Holy Spirit, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you put this in my heart yesterday. I had planned to preach from 1 John 5. Father, for some reason you told me to preach this, and so I'm trying to be obedient. And I pray, Lord, you help me to do well for you today. Help me to do well for you that I could be a blessing to the people. Convey to their heart what you put in my heart, I pray. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. If you'll notice in verse 27, the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints. You notice verse 27? By the way, we have the super church with us today. We didn't run our buses, so today we got all the kids with us. Amen? And for the last 2 weeks now, we've had them in there. But next week, I'm looking for warmer weather, and the buses will be running again. And maybe that new van will be running a route, too. You never know what will come between now and then. But today, we got the kids with us, and we're thankful that they're with us. And but notice in verse 27, for the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints. How many see that in verse 27? The Spirit of God makes intercession for the saints. And the question is, who are saints? Who are saints? I know there's some churches teach you got to get canonized and homogenized and pasteurized and things like that. But that's not really true. A saint is anyone that's been born again. And when you read the book of Ephesians, it says, the saints in Christ. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you become a saint. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're ain't. You're an ain't. But if you know Christ as your Savior, you're a saint. Amen? There's the saints, Brother Eddie, and there's the ain'ts. Saved people are saints. Lost people are ain'ts. Amen? Notice, only saved people have the Holy Spirit in them. Are you still got your Bible open to Romans 8? Look at Romans 8 and 9. I think I'm going to be a preacher today. I'm going to try to teach a little bit and preach at the same time. Look at Romans 8 and 9. Chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, what does He do? Dwell in you. You don't speak in tongues to get the Holy Spirit. You get the Spirit of God the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior with your heart. The Lord, come into my heart and save my soul. Bam! You got the Spirit of God right now. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confesses man. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He that the Son hath life. He that the Son of God does not have life. Now notice, and if Christ be in you, how's he in you? By the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said in John, I gotta go, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Spirit. How many remember that? I'll send the Comforter. He'll abide in you. And look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Christ don't save our body. He saves our soul. Paul said in Romans 7, in this body of flesh is no good thing. Don't try to save the body. It's unsavable. Hello. He saves the eternal soul. Oh, one day he's going to raise that body, make it a brand new body. Those are saved. Amen. Notice, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But look at verse 11. But of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ, of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, aren't you glad He's a risen Savior? Notice what it says there. Dwell in you. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Yes. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm working on some because I want you to see this. Every saved person, I don't care what religion they are, if they're saved, they've got the Holy Spirit in them. I was telling some people at Mrs. Wolf's house yesterday, it doesn't matter what religion you are. Religion never saves anyone. It's Christ that does the saving. You can be a Baptist and go to hell. If your faith is in the Baptist church, you're not going to heaven. If your faith is in the Lutheran church or the Catholic church or the Methodist church or the Presbyterian church or the Church of God or the Church of Christ or any kind of church you want to mention. If your faith is in the church, you're on your way to hell. See, it's faith in Christ that gets you. It's a personal salvation in a personal Savior. And you must have that Savior, Christ. Oh, people could just see that. It's Christ that saveth. Not no man, not no church. Not no water in the baptism pool. Amen? Now, hold your hand there in Romans 8. Let me just read to you, or I'll just read to you if you like, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God, in 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things that's in us. By the way, the same Spirit is once making intercessory for us. Yet the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him. That's talking about the little spirit, the human spirit. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You got a human spirit, and then when you get saved, you got the Spirit of God. Are you with me, church? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then it goes down to verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You ever wonder why people, Brother Kerry, they say, well, you guys are just a bunch of religious churchgoers, and I don't know why they want to care about that Bible and why they care about doing this. They're lost. They can't understand because they don't have the Spirit of God. The reason we understand the importance of getting out with the gospel and reaching, having missionaries and getting people saved and things is because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Lost people don't have that. They can't. They have nothing to draw on. They're empty. And so when you try to teach people the scriptures and if they don't have the Spirit of God, it is impossible for them to learn. The only thing you need to teach them is how to get saved. The gospel. Once they get saved, then the Spirit of God comes in, then they can learn. You ever notice how some people say, man, I don't understand anything about that Bible. You don't understand because you ain't got the Spirit of God. Now listen, there's a lot of things that all of us don't understand. None of us are theologians. Amen? But what I'm saying is this, when you get saved, the Spirit of God will be in there and He will give you some discernment. And right from wrong for the things of God. Now, it says there, go back to Romans chapter 8. It says there in Romans chapter 8, and I noted this, praise God, the Holy Spirit which God gives us when we get saved, He makes intercession for us. How many glad we got the Holy Spirit making intercession for us? The Spirit of, what do you mean, preacher? The Spirit of God that dwells in every born-again believer, by the way, and He only does it for the believers, non-believers, He don't do this for. He makes intercession for them. He prays for us. Isn't that great? How many are glad the Spirit of God's helping you? Well, we need prayer, don't we? It's me, O Lord, stand in need of prayer. And notice, look in verse 26. Notice what the Spirit of God does in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of God prays for things that we do not know to pray for to help our lives. Look at verse, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for. How many see that? And He prays for us according to the Spirit of God, the will of God. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad. Listen, there's a lot of things that I don't understand, a lot of things I don't know ahead of me, and I'm glad the Holy Spirit knows, and I'm glad He understands, and I'm glad He goes in my behalf before God and says, Lord, here's what Pastor Skyver needs. Lord, would You help him? He needs that kind of wisdom to deal with this problem or this situation. Are you still with me? He does it for you too. And The Spirit of God makes intercession for us to help us. The Spirit of God goes before the Father on our behalf. The Spirit of God makes, and I'm working on this, intercessory prayer for all who are saved. How many are saved? They say amen. Well, if you do, you've got the Spirit, if you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God in you. And you got the Spirit of God making intercessory prayer for you. Now, what does it mean to make intercessory prayer for someone? Well, what the dictionary says about the intercessor is this. An intercessor is this. A mediator. One who interposes between parties at variances with a view to reconcile them. One who pleads in behalf of another. In other words, an example, how many of you ever heard of, I have to go to court and I got a lawyer to defend me. A defense attorney or a defense lawyer. How many are with me? The Holy Spirit, he's kind of like a defense lawyer for us. He's like an attorney for us that goes before God helping our case before God. Amen? So, as an intercessor, get this now, an intercessor is a mediator. Say that. An intercessor is a mediator between you and God. Now watch. Just stay where you're at. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, for there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Watch. Come here, boys. Yeah. Yep. Come here, Elvis. Stand here, Bobby. Dude. Okay. Let's just say Bobby's wanting to go to the Lord, and he needs help. Okay. And here's the Lord. Amen. You've got sideburns. Elvis brought some fashion up there. here's what Jesus does. We're going to pretend. I know you're saved, Bobby, but right now we're going to pretend you're lost. Okay. A lost person, Jesus is the mediator between that man and God because they're separated. There's a variance. There's a gap between them. And what Jesus does, he stands as a defense lawyer. He comes to God the Father and says, I want to go on behalf of Bob that he's trusted me as his Savior. And I took his pain and suffering on the cross of Calvary, Lord. So I want you to forgive him. And see, so he comes in his behalf and he forgives Bobby because of the mediator. See, without a mediator, he can't get there.
Right.
It's impossible for man to get to God without a mediator. Because man is separated from God. Aren't you glad Jesus came down to be the bridge? He bridges man to God.
Amen.
Amen. He makes atonement. Men at one with God. And so, then Bobby gets saved. Now he's got the Holy Spirit. He's saved. He's on his way to heaven. Don't worry about that now. But now the Holy Spirit, I'm playing a different person now. Now the Holy Spirit goes, he needs some help. He's got some things in front of him. Okay, I'll do it. How many get that? And so you had Jesus going for you. Now you got the Holy Spirit going for you. You got a lot going for you, amen? And two is the number of witness. Thank you, fellas. Hey, Lord, get a haircut. No, I just can't. You look good. Next year, we're going to sing, "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, Crackin' All the Time." Andy's a jewel, isn't he?
Amen.
Thank God for him. You know, he had never played that song before David asked him that day. He never played that. Didn't have one note. Got there and played it for that skit. Really proud of him. Amen. Well, notice now. That mediator, which the Holy Spirit is for us, and also Christ is for us. And you see, how can they both be the same? Well, you got to understand God's a Trinity. There are three that bear record in heaven, 1 John 5:7. The Word, the Spirit, and the Father. Then all three are one. Amen? And you say, can you explain the Trinity? No, I just believe it. I don't understand the Trinity, I just believe it. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And look at an egg. I eat eggs almost every day of my life. There's a shell, there's a white, and there's a yolk. Amen? three parts of an egg, but still one egg. Amen? I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives me white milk. But I sure like milk. Hello? And so there's a lot of times, you know, just because you can't put God in a test tube. We just got to take God by faith. You know, and there's some things that you just aren't going to always understand 100%. But I like what Dr. John Brook used, because guys would struggle with this teaching. If God says it, we would be wrong not to believe it. Amen? Amen? So let's look at the scripture now as we move on. Our intercessor is a mediator, and Christ is a mediator between us and God. And also, did you know another goal for the intercessor is to reconcile two parties? I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Oh, I'm not tickling your ear tonight, but this is some truth you need to understand. Not preaching prophecy. Oh, I'll preach, I could preach prophecy and you'd get all excited, be right on the edge. But you'd leave and say, well, that was fun to hear, but you wouldn't be any more better than what you were now. I want to try to put something in your heart to help your Christian life tomorrow and today and the next day. Amen. I'm not against prophecy. I think it's exciting. I think the Lord could come back right now. Wish he would. Amen. So do you, because then you'd be out this message. You wouldn't have to hear me preach it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 18, I want you to see the scripture. Verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's how come when a man gets saved, you'll see when a person gets saved, something about them changes. You'll see some changes in their life. They think a little different. They act a little different. It's because God came in them. Say, what happened to that guy? I remember when I got saved, they used to tell, they said, they always loved, my family always loved Rosie more than me. It always irritated me. She was always a good guy and I was always a bad guy. They say, Richard, we don't know how you got that good little girl, but you're lucky, you know? And I was. But they could at least tell me once in a while I was okay, amen, Rob? But Bobby, I was a hoodlum. Not a hoodlum, but delinquent maybe or something. This guy on the street. And then God saved me, miraculously saved me. But the people that knew me couldn't believe it. No one told me not to stop doing things. I just stopped doing it. And some of my old buddies that ran with me, they said, man, you're no fun to be with no more. You don't want to do the things we always do. I said, I don't think I should do those. And then I quit running with them. They said, well, we don't care anyways. You're no fun to be with anymore. But it's amazing when you get saved how God changes your life. And the reason you change is because the Spirit of God comes into you and starts living within you. Before, he wasn't in me, so he couldn't affect me. Amen? Now notice verse 18. All things are of God who hath reconciled. He has reconciled us to himself. How did he do it? By Jesus Christ. Not by baptism, not by taking sacraments, not by being a member of a church, although he wants us to be a member of a church. He wants to get baptism, not because we are saved, but because we, not because to be saved, but because we are saved. That's why he wants us to follow in believers' baptism, to say we are, it's a testimony I've trusted Christ as my Savior. He's reconciled and given us the ministry of what? Christ has reconciled us to God. Now he's given us the ministry. We need to reconcile other people to God. What God did for us, we need to do for others. He reached out in love for us. We need to reach out to others like he did for us. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And it goes on and says we're ambassadors for him now. We serve a king. We're to go out as ambassadors that represent the king, the kingdom of God. And so, and then in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, I'll preach here in a few minutes. I'm trying to lay a foundation. For if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God, Romans 5:10. When you're lost, you're an enemy of God. But when you get saved, you become a child of God. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We're saved by the life of Christ. Amen? And Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and here, now I'm going to read this, and we're going to get going here. I did all I could get so I could start. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this: I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, I'm in 1 Timothy 2, 1, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And it goes on to tell you to pray for the kings and everybody, even the like rulers of your country and stuff like that. Listen, we as Christians need to make intercessory prayer for others. How many are glad that Jesus became our mediator and intercessor? How many are glad the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us? All right. Now He says, all right, look what I've done for you. Now that we've done this for you, you need to be an example through us, letting us work through you. Because the only good thing I have in me is Christ. There's nothing good about Rich Skiber. My family will tell you that. That's the truth. There's none righteous, no, not one. But the good that's in us, Brother Coolidge, is Christ. Because all men fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But the good that you see come out is the good, is Christ. And what God says, I want you to let me, I want people to see more of me through you than more of you. Are you with me? And He says this in the scripture. He says, now, we are to make intercessory prayer for others. I am really excited. Robin and Coolidge will know, but I am really excited about you starting this prayer list. Because I want people to take that list when we start handing them out in the near future. I want you, every day, I want you to sit down and make intercessory prayer. I want you to call those people's names out and say, God, here's Pastor Skiver. He really needs it. God, here's Archie Jones. He really needs prayer. Lord, would you come down and help Diane? God, she's watched her husband die. Would you help Mrs. Wolf? She's watched her husband suffer. We need, look at Bethel Baptist. We got a lot of suffering in this church right now. We need to have a whole lot of members of Bethel making intercessory prayer for those who are hurting, for those who are suffering. I mean, I'm telling you, Bethel, we need to come down as one big force for God and intercede for our loved ones. I want us to have a daily interceding prayer for our members and for other people and for the things that are important to our church, for our country, for our leaders, for our new building. Folks, it is my heart's desire. Of course, I want God's will. I want God's will over my desire. But by God's grace, Brother Carey, and God's will, we're going to build in 2007. Eddie, my face is like a flint. I'm telling you, I am set on going to Infirmary Road. I want to build this year. Now, I want, over my want, though, I want God's will. And I believe it is God's will. But whatever, I'm going to do all I can in His will to make it happen. Amen? Now listen to me. How many of us would, if we would really start taking, being serious and pray, oh God, open up the windows of heaven so we can build this year. I wonder how many, if we started making intercessory prayer for God to do something. I don't think we pray enough about it. I really don't. I really believe if you take just a handful of people, and have people start really having real intercessory prayer, it's amazing what we could do. If we would just have intercessory prayer for Eddie's teenagers, oh God, start calling all their names out. Oh God, protect them. Oh God, help them in school. Oh God, help them stay pure. Oh God, help them over all the temptations. I'm going to tell you, our kids have got more stress and more problems than we ever even knew about when we were kids. There's more things facing these kids than we've ever even thought about. We live in the hardest time of the world right now. We need to be praying for our kids. You know what? We might make a difference for Danny here, young Danny Lucas, if we can have intercessory prayer for him. Listen, God made the difference. How many believe He made the difference for you? He said, I want you to make the difference for others. Amen? Notice, we need to pray for people's needs. We need to pray for people's lives. We need to pray for people's health. We need to pray for the future building of our church, and we need to be all the things that matter to our church. We need to have intercessory prayer. Listen, that's something that we have as God's people. We don't avail ourselves to that. You have that because you, right. Did you notice when you pray for others, special things happen? I just listed a few things. When we pray for others and God answers the prayer, what does it do? It encourages you. Man, they'll call and say, hey, this happened for me. Wow, I was just praying that God would give that to you. Wow, man, I was praying for you to do that. Hey, I'm not sick no more. I'm completely, wow, I was praying that God would heal you. Yeah, it happened about, what time? About 7 o'clock? Yeah, that's what, man, God healed you right when I prayed. Man, I don't know about you. When I pray about specifically, see, that's why God says pray specific things. I like Dr. John R. Rice. He wrote a book called Prayer, Asking and Receiving. The greatest thing I ever got out of that book was this. John Rice taught me, when you pray, be specific. Joe, you don't realize what that did for me. I prayed for $3,000. I said, God, tell me what I should have for that van. He put in my heart, $3,000. And I said, Lord, if it's your will, before next Sunday, you'll have the money to me. And right then, one man gave $1,000, the next day another gave, and people have been giving me money all week. And then one lady pledged so much on Wednesday to me, and I had that. And then I knew what I had. I had a little over $2,500 so in the area of that. And then a man came last night, and pow! And the one pledge that said that told me Wednesday came this morning, pow! And before we took up an offering, I had $3,000! Oh, oh, oh! And I was praying, oh God, if you're really in this, because by the way, and people were handing me money at the You Are Love. And I said, yeah, I'll take it. Thank you. And I recorded everything they gave, because if we wouldn't have got the 3,000, or if you'd have told me it was going to cause a problem, I was going to return all the money to you. Another lady came and gave me money during the, matter of fact, one lady's husband said he heard about it. She came over the other day and handed me some money, and I took, you didn't know this, I was so confident. I went and put they gave me some money, and I put what they gave me down on as a holder, a retainer fee for the van. You didn't know that, did you? What would you have done if you wouldn't have got it? I'd have had to pay back. Because if we wouldn't have got it, I would have gave every penny back. You preachers always remember, don't ever cheat people on their money. Always remember that. Be open with money. Everything about your, don't hide. People give because they have to have confidence. And I would have gave every penny back. I mean that God knew it. But when he brought that, you were what that, see, that meant I can, when I really believe God's in something, it encouraged me to pray. By the way, it'll encourage you to pray. I'm trying to get us to understand God will hear our prayers. But it's not just, now lay me down to sleep, Lord, I pray before I die, you know, you'll have a cup of Coca-Cola or something before, you know. No, Lord, this is important to me. Would you help me? Notice, prayer encourages us when we see it answered. Prayer increases our faith in God for Him to provide. You've seen me pastor almost 17 years. Not only have I prayed for money, but I've prayed for people that are sick. And when I pray, a lot of times things really, it happens right there. I prayed for Mrs. Wolf. Mrs. Yost. Florence Yost. I prayed for Mrs. Florence Jost a couple of years ago back in the hospital. She had something wrong. And I just said, Lord, please heal her body right now. When I pray, it doesn't always happen, but when I pray, I actually believe God can do it. I seen God open up blind people's eyes. I seen God make people that were ready to die, make them come back to life and walk out the same day. I seen God take cancer that was big as a pineapple out of a man completely and baffle the doctors. And I can tell you story after story after story. I believe God can do things. So when I pray, I just believe He's going to do it. Can you imagine? And He does it. I had $2,000 before 24 hours. I had $2,000 before 24 hours had even elapsed. Because I had $1,000 coming. I had another $1,000 coming Monday morning. That's why and then more money came on Wednesday. And then I said, I'm taking that money and putting it down. We're getting it. I said, God ain't going to give all that money, not give me the final, the last of the road. Amen. See, and then what it does, next time I go to pray for something, by the way, though, you got to pray for His will. Got to be in His will. Are you with me? But it encourages me to pray, Eddie, because I know He can do it. Be specific in your prayers. It increases your faith in God to provide. Prayer brings us closer to God. When you pray, it brings you closer to God. When you read the Bible, God talks to you. When you pray, you talk to God. Prayer brings us closer to Him. If we pray for others, by the way, here's one that's good. I like this. If we pray for others, we will refrain from talking bad about them. Did you ever notice when you're praying for somebody, it's hard to think evil for someone you're asking God to help. By the way, He said, love your enemies. Do not despise against them. Hello? Did you ever ask, oh God, they're sick. They really need, and all of a sudden, then you start, oh Lord, please help them. All of a sudden, those bad feelings you have and those grudges you have, they start getting warm and getting taken out. Next thing you know, you really care about that person. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing what prayer does. When you start praying for those people, you know what? It stops the backbiting. It stops the gossip. It stops the tale-bearing. The girls love to tell stories. Gossips. And by the way, it destroys people. Can I say something? I'm going to get a lot of people mad here. We have our problems. We do. But I'm going to tell you, men are not big gossipers. We have our own faults. But the biggest gossipers in the church are usually the hens. The women. I'm just being honest with you. Women, you need to not gossip. You that listen to them, not listen to it. Do you know what gossip does? It quenches the Spirit of God. It tears a church up. It tears your life up because your heart's not right. It tears other people's hearts up. It's like a poison. It's like a cancer and it spreads and it spreads and it destroys and it eats away and it eats away and the next thing, everything is ruined. And it's ugly. Bethel Baptist, I want to build this year. And I know Satan's going to throw all his fiery darts at this church. I know he is. I've already put my gloves on. I'm ready to duke it out. I ain't kidding you, Brother Carey. I am. I've set my... I said, come on, I'm going to smoke you, buddy. The devil. I need... And Superman's going to help me, too. Amen? I need you, Superman. I do. Listen to me. We're going to do something big for God this year. You think this is something, Joe? This church today filled up on a cold, wintry day? Way that Eddie Wilson just takes the first dig with his big machine out there and starts cutting the dirt away for the building. You can't believe the people are going to be coming. And we need to have a sweet spirit in here. And we need to have a lovingness in this church. And we need to shed our stinking traps about other people and mind our own businesses. And don't look what's another, take the thing out of our own eyes before you push up somebody else's. Stupid. It's Satan trying to destroy you in this church. And the man of God said, God told me to tell you, Bethel Baptist, let's stop today. We gotta work to do here. I'm kicking the devil out of here. And by the way, that goes for the men too. And me too. All of us. Amen. Notice, it hinders the growth of a church. It quenches the spirit of God. All gossip and talebearing and evil speaking, it should be, God says, put it away from you. Let it not be once named among the saints. Folks, I'm just glad I'm saved. I like what Mike Porter said years ago. Either Mike or Jack Hiles, I can't remember what they both, he always gets, this church is like a hospital. This church is like a hospital. All week long, man. All week long, we get beat up by the world. Man, when you come to this church on Sunday, you're trying to get refuge here. You're trying to get help here. You're trying to get encouragement here. Man, if we can't encourage the people of our church, we're not doing God's work. People ought to come here to be less embracing with love and concern, and man, we want to help you. This thing of tearing them down and looking down. Get rid of those little clicks you have. Those little clicks are not of God. Quit your talking behind the preacher's back. By the way, God hears every word of it. By the way, you might be cutting some of your life off. You'd be surprised. I'm going to be preaching on the sin and the death next week, maybe, or the week after. I don't know what we're going to. So whenever God lets me. If someone dies, I'm not saying that's a sin, but people can cut their life short. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians 4. I'm going to close. I got to close. Oh boy, I got a whole page. Wow. Well, it's 12 o'clock. Let me just give you a couple thoughts and I'll let you go. Ephesians chapter 4. Folks, God's going to do something this year. 2007 is the year that He's going to do it. I'm telling you. I got to hear the great Roy Thompson. I know he's older now. I went to that marriage seminar, just to be honest, I didn't really care about the seminar. I just wanted to see Roy Thompson. I know it's a horrible thing to say. He's one of the greatest preachers that ever walked this earth. I know he's older now. He's in near the end, twilight, but he's still got a lot of fire in him yet, I'll tell you that. And he built a great church up there in Cleveland. One of my good friends that's in heaven, Bruce Cummings, he built a great church in Massillon. Well, that's where Robert went to school too, by the way. And so did Roddy. I love Bruce Cummings. He built a great church in Massillon. The old man built a great church. Dallas, thank you, brother. Dallas Billings built a great church in Akron. Akron Baptist. Another man, Henry, built a great church in Canton. And I believe with all my heart. By the way, none of those churches are near what they once were. And I've told you, I've not made this up. I've always told you when I came here, as soon as I got here, I thought the Lord put in my heart, I want to do it one more time. Amen. And I think God wants this church to be the last big church before the rapture here in Northeast Ohio. I'm not just saying words. God knows my heart. I believe that. I don't know if I'm going to see it, but I'm going to do all I can to prepare it. And I want you to know that I knew that God told me He's going to do it one more time. And I think it's right here in those 30 acres out there in Fermi Road, whether you believe me or not. I believe He wants to do it one more time before the rapture happens. To give Northeast Ohio one more time, one more chance. And this is a church because you've got the foundation. And if we don't walk close to God, deacons, if we don't walk close to God and we don't guard our church, it can be destroyed within. Am I making any sense? Ephesians 3:30 says this. I'm sorry. First mistake I made in the last 5 minutes. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I'm saved, sealed, and delivered. God sees me He sees me just as I've always been there. He sees us risen in Christ, even though we're here right now. Now look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Bethel Baptist, evil be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it! Get rid of it! Get rid of it! Get rid of it! Take your soap and clean up your mouth. Clean your heart up. Ask God to forgive you. And get a pure heart and a clean heart. If you got it off, go to that person. Take care of it. Let's go forward. I'm tired of devil wrecking churches. Amen. And be ye kind, Bethel Baptist, one to another, tender hearted, forgiving. Listen, we're just all saved by God's grace. None of us are perfect. And now we spend a lot. I knew what Jack Hiles was preaching about now. When he had the college and the Christian school. Someday we'll have a big college here too, but we have a Christian. We're with each other almost 24 hours a day, every day. Hello? We're with each other a lot all the time now. And sometimes we get like we do in our own family. We like to quibble among us. We need to learn to get along. We need to learn to love one another. And by the way, if someone does something wrong, let's not put them down. Let's pray for them. Let's say, God, help them. I'm glad Jesus did. In Luke 23, he said, around verse 38, somewhere, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. He was on the cross of Calvary. They were spitting on him and putting nails. He said, and casting lots for his garment. Father, forgive them, for they know not. He was making intercessory prayer for you and I while he was on the cross. I thought about this. Instead of tearing down someone's life, let's build them up. You know, Exodus 32, verse 30 to 32. Remember when they made the golden calf? Moses came down. God was going to smite all those people. If you read verse 30 to 32, Moses said to God, God, don't kill them. Blot me out. Moses was actually making intercessory prayer. I wonder how many people we could help. Reconcile, Eddie, if we would do intercessory prayer instead of back-mouthing them and treating them evil, if we would make intercessory prayer for someone instead of evil talking, how we might reconcile them, how many more would we reconcile, Brother Dave, in our church? Getting quiet in here, isn't it? We need this. All of us need this. We have a job to do, and we need to start letting God work through us and let the flesh be behind us. When Paul, in Romans 9, 1 through 3, he said, Lord, let me be accursed for my kinsmen. He was making intercessory prayer for those who he loved. He wanted the Jews to be saved. He wanted his family. Listen, I wonder how many of our friends and family would be saved if we'd make intercessory prayer for them. Amen? Instead of, we don't even pray for lost people. You know lost people right now, and they could die. You haven't even said one prayer to try to. You haven't made no intercessory prayers to try to get those people saved. I wonder how many times when we make intercessory prayers, how many people would be saved if we'd have just been consistent about praying. We really fail the mark, don't we? I'll close with this. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was dying on the cross. He made intercessory prayers for us. Isaiah said, the great chapter of the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ died, Isaiah 53 talks about him on the cross. But I like what it says. In verse 12, he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's us. We're the transgressors. I'm glad he stood for you and I. Amen. Then lastly, today, not just 2,000 years ago did he make intercession for us, but today Jesus is still making intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Man, he lives to make intercession for you and I. He lives to make intercession for the lost person to come and get saved. We need to be Christ-like. We need to have a life of intercession for others. I wonder what we could do if we all prayed for Archie Jones today. But I wonder if a bunch of us would go up today, I mean really, really today, a bunch of us would go to our homes and get by ourselves, have intercessory prayer for Archie Jones, if God wouldn't lift him up. And Diane. And Mr. Wolf. How many are still with me? And for Grandpa Lemley. I think Grandpa and Grandma Phil. We, how many times do you pray for them during the week? We need to lift these people up. Oh. I just want to be like him. And if we'll be like him, you'll see him do great things. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Lord, I pray that we would learn intercessory prayer. Praying for others and praying for those in need and praying for those who have fallen. Praying for those that we don't even like. Praying for the hurting. Praying for the dying. Praying for the things that we need to be done in the future about our new church building. Praying for our own family. Praying for lost people. Friends and family are going to die without you. And Lord, we never utter a prayer. We never intercede that you would send someone to speak them to get them saved. How many people could be saved, Lord, if we just be more intercessory prayer for those people? We don't even have a heart to care for others. Boy, Lord, I'm glad you cared about me. I didn't deserve it, but you still were an intercessor for me. And Holy Spirit, thank you for making intercession for us. Holy Spirit, I'm glad you live in us. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll teach us what to pray for and how to pray for them and lead us and guide us. And I just pray you'll have your own way in our lives. Help us to have pure hearts. Oh God, help us to have hearts that love and care. Help words of evilness not to be on our tongue. Help concern to be in our heart. And Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. That we would just want you to work through us for that we could be intercessors, making a difference for others. That we could be the reconcilers for people to come to Christ. I wonder with their heads bowed and their eyes closed this morning. How many say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I just need to come and pray today. I need to ask God to help my heart. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just come. If you want to pray, you just come right now. Just come. Oh God, I need to pray about these things. Help me. Lord, help me. I don't want to do nothing to hinder this church. And Lord, I want your perfect will. Oh God, help me to be an intercessor. Lord, I've got a family member that's lost. Why don't you pray for that family member right now? Why don't you pray for that person that needs to be saved? God, I'm making intercession for him right now. Oh God, help that person. Help my family. Help me. Help Archie Jones. Help Diane Jones. Pray as God would put things in your heart. Before we go, how many would say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there any to say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? I won't come to you, but I will pray for you. Who'd say that? Just lift your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I'd sure like to know when I died, I'd go to heaven. Well, God right now is making intercessory in prayer for you. If you're here and you're lost, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, He's making intercessory prayer for you right now. He's praying that you'll come to know Him as Savior. The Holy Spirit working in your heart to try to bring you to Christ. We'll stand, we'll sing a verse. Have thine own way. Rosie's just going to play, and Deborah, I don't have a singer. We don't need the singer. We'll just play it, girl, whatever page it is. Whatever that song you're playing right now, that's, you want to come while they're playing, you come. People are praying. You might want to come and pray right now. You come. You come. Whatever God puts in your heart. Yeah, why don't you lead it, Brother Kerry? Yes. Citizens, married couples, singles, divorced people, all kinds of people, and they all need Christ. We got to be in tune. We got to have filled with the love of Christ so they can see love here. Amen. They're hurting. We ought to be here to help. Amen. That's how you build for God. God, we're just a bunch of old sinners saved by grace. Ain't no big, none of us are better than the others. We're all just, hey, all of us deserve to go to hell. I'm just glad he loved us, my Father. I'm glad he loved us and saved us, amen. Glad you came today. Let's send some prayers up for Mr. Wolf today and for Mrs. Wolf. Let's pray for Archie Jones and Diane Jones. You know, those two men are near death. How many would pray for them today? I mean, really take some time. Say, oh, God, help them. And, you know, I'd like to be the wife watching your husband die like their mom's now crying. Preacher Diane's have to watch that. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Oh, some of you widows know what I'm talking about. I've held you as your wife. You widows know what I'm talking about. The hurt. You know what I'm talking about. We need to care.